If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to start a new sermon series today, a brand new sermon series entitled, A Faith That Works. A Faith That Works. You know, when we go through ordinary life, you know, life as we've known it before this year, life was challenging enough, wasn't it? And you needed a faith that works. But I tell you, in a year like this, with all the upheaval that we have faced and are still facing, by the way, the pandemic isn't over. Many places, cases are rising. I want to thank you for wearing your masks today and practicing social distancing. You know, time goes by. We tend to be a little lax with things like that. So thank you for adhering to that. And but in times like this, we don't need a faith that is ineffective. We need a faith that works. And today, this first message of the series is entitled Real Faith. Real Faith. My wife mentioned in speaking to the graduates that their faith would be challenged. Boy, that's true, isn't it? And graduates, I encourage you to hold on to the real faith that you have. You know, today our culture is literally overrun with fake products. You could buy fake almost anything. In many countries, you can buy a fake Rolex for only $100. And it would look identical to the real thing that's worth about $15,000. Of course, you can improve your body with fake nails, fake hair, fake teeth, fake body parts, which will remain unmentioned, fake tanning, and then you can go out and eat a taco with fake meat and fake cheese and put fake sugar in your coffee and wear fake designer clothes made out of fake leather and fake fur while you talk to your fake friends about fake news on fake social media with your fake identity. Now, you know, there are some areas in life where fake works just fine, just as well as the real thing. But there's one area you have to have the real thing, and it's this. You have to have real faith, not fake faith, or it doesn't work. In the Bible, there are over 6,000 promises that God has made to you and me. And we need these promises to stay stable and strong and healthy during this pandemic and at all times. But to access those promises, we have to have a very real, legitimate faith. And in the book of James, in chapter 2, we have a portion of Scripture written to help us understand the difference between real faith and fake faith. You know, sometimes we may wonder why our prayers aren't being answered. There can be a lot of reasons for that, but you know, one of the reasons may be that we're really not operating out of a real faith, but a fake one. Let me read to you James chapter 2, from verse 14 to verse 20. The apostle writes, he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Could such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" Now, a surface reading of this passage could lead us to conclude that James is contradicting the Apostle Paul. You remember Paul's message was that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. But I submit to you, James is not contradicting Paul. Their messages are two sides of the same coin. You see, Paul was writing for us to know how we're saved. James is writing for us to show how we're saved. You understand that? Paul was writing about the root of our faith. James is writing about the fruit of our faith. And so it's two sides of the same kind. When Paul talks about works, he's talking about keeping Jewish laws in order to become a believer. And Paul says, you can't do that. Those kind of works won't save you, keeping the Jewish laws. But when James talks about works, he uses the same term, but he's talking about living like Jesus because you already are a believer. You understand that? He's talking about works as the evidence of our faith. So, what is real faith? Well, in this passage, for the next few minutes, I want to share that James shares with us first four things that real faith is not. How many know it's good to know what something isn't to better understand what it is? Four things real faith is not, and then he tells us what real faith is and gives us a couple of examples. He starts off by saying in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? And here's the first thing he says real faith is not. Real faith, he says, is more than just words I say. Real faith is more than just words I say. It's more than memorized prayers. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I prayed that when I was little. But real faith is more than that. Repeating something I heard someone else say is not proof that I have real faith. Studies have shown that in the United States, most people claim to be a Christian. Did you know that? That's still true even in our day and age. Most people, most Americans say, I am a Christian, but most of them don't act like it, do they? It's one thing to say, I'm a Christian, but that doesn't prove we have real faith. You know, we hear athletes talk about it. You'll hear somebody at the country music awards, when they receive an award, say something like, I just want to thank the man upstairs, you know? That's not evidence alone of real faith. You know, any of us, there's a saying, talk is cheap, right? Have you found that to be true? Any of us can make any kind of claim. I could claim to be the best dancer in the world. And by the way, I'm not. I don't know how to dance. Ask my wife. We can make a lot of claims. Doesn't mean it's true. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Real faith. It's more than just words I say. Amen? Words often have no value. Words are easy. Talk is cheap. Real faith is more than words I say. Number two, the second thing James says real faith is not, he says that real faith is more than just an emotion I feel. Real faith is more than just an emotion I feel. You can be inspired. You can be emotionally moved. You can have a quiver in your liver. You can have goosebumps. You can be emotional and not have real faith. In verses 15 to 17 here in James 2, he said this, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, James says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Do you see the sarcasm at work here? You go up to somebody who has a need, you say, man, I hope things get better for you. You know, a lot of people out of work now. Boy, I hope things get better. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but that in and of itself doesn't do much, does it? You know, if I get my finger shut in the door, car door, it wouldn't help a whole lot if you walk by and say, oh man, you got your finger shut. Man, that must hurt. Wow. I really feel, I hope you can resolve that situation. I don't need that. What do I need? I need you to help me get my finger out of the door. So sometimes, you know, we have an emotional experience. And God made us emotional beings, didn't he? Some of us are more emotional than others. But we all have emotions. That's part of who we are. And so we'll get in a service like this, or we'll have something that will take place, that we'll witness, that we'll hear, and we'll be moved, and our emotions will be stirred. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of who we are. But an emotional response by itself is not real faith. Do we understand that this morning? So real faith is more than the words I say, and it's more than the emotions I feel. What's the third thing real faith is not? Real faith is more than an idea I debate. It's more than an idea that I debate. You know, in James 2:18, James imagines an intellectual objector to this third kind of fake faith. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. But I say, no, I can't see your real faith if you don't do anything, if you don't do any real deeds to show me. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. In other words, he's saying, a guy goes, you're into doing good things. Well, I'm into discussing good things. I like to discuss. I like to talk about the Bible. I like to debate what the Bible says. And James says, show me your faith. Somebody said faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can sure feel the effects of them. Anybody feel the effects of calories? There was an old movie called The Invisible Man. You couldn't see the invisible man because, well, he was invisible. But you could see the effects of what he did if he'd move something, you know? And real faith is like that. It's invisible, but you can see the effects of it. Anybody here from Missouri? No? Maybe some of you watching online are from Missouri. You know what Missouri's nickname is, don't you? The Show Me State. You know? Now, James wasn't from Missouri, but he had that Missouri mentality. Show me your faith, and I'll know it's real. See, the truth is, somebody as big as God, we talked about this last week. Remember the illustration of a little girl who said, God's so big, if he's inside you, he should show on the outside. If God's within us, he should be seen on the outside. It's more than just an idea I debate. You will run into people every day who would love to debate the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with debating fine points of Scripture. But a debate or discussion of the Word of God is not the same thing as a real faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old has gone, the new has come. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And that doesn't mean that we become new in our lives overnight. But it means there's a change that takes place. It means we go beyond philosophical discussions and debates and ideas about the Word of God, but we live the Word of God. Amen? Thank you for that underwhelming response. So real faith is more than words I say. It's more than an emotion I feel. It's more than an idea I debate. But I'm going to go a little further, and this may surprise some of you. Number four, real faith is more than just a truth I believe. Real faith is more than just a truth I believe. And he uses more sarcasm here. That's why I love James, okay? James 2:19 and 20, and verse 20, he says, you believe, listen to this, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. In other words, he says it's a foolish thing to not to realize that faith in God is useless if you don't do anything with it. Did you know this morning that the devil is not an atheist? Did you know that? He's too smart for that. The devil knows that God is real. The devil believes that God is there. Job chapter 1 tells us Satan came up and talked with God. He's not an atheist. He believes in God. And let me tell you, devil's not going to heaven, okay? He got kicked out years ago. So for people to say, oh, I believe God's there, it's like they're saying, God's in my back pocket. Whenever I need him, I just pull him out, you know, like a handkerchief or something. You ever know people like that? That's a description of their so-called faith. And so just to believe that God is there, just to believe that God is real, that is not evidence of real faith. Just to believe that he's there. And so we've talked about what real faith isn't. It's more than words I say. It's more than an emotion I feel. It's more than an idea I debate. It's even more than a truth that I believe. What is real faith? Real faith is something I do. Real faith is something I do. In James 2:26, he says, and we didn't read that, but it's here. We'll have it on the screen for you. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Have you noticed in this passage over and over, James uses the word do? Do. Almost every single verse. If you do nothing, what good does your sympathy do? What if you fail to do any real deeds? I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith in God is useless if you don't do what he wants you to do. Faith that doesn't do anything is dead, and so on. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14 says this, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Do everything in love. That assumes you're going to be doing something and doing it in love. The point is this, what are you and I doing to demonstrate our faith in Jesus Christ? What is the fruit of the faith that we say that we have? And James brings this portion of Scripture to a conclusion by giving two examples of real faith, two people named Abraham and Rahab. Now, Abraham and Rahab were two different people. Neither one of them were Jews. Did you know that Abraham wasn't a Jew? He was the father of the Jews, but there were no Jews when Abraham was there. Abraham was a wealthy businessman. And God spoke to him. His name was Abram at the time, and said, I want you to leave your country. He was most likely an idol worshiper at the time. But the living God spoke to him, said, I want you to leave your country, follow me to a new location, bring your family and your flocks and your herds, and if you trust me, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And Abram at the time did exactly what God told him to do. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what the end result would be, but he displayed faith in God. Going to a place he'd never seen at the command of a God whom he previously didn't know. And then later, you know the story, Abraham was tested again when God told him to offer his only son, his prized son, offer him as a sacrifice. You see, Abraham's whole life was trusting in God, but he didn't just talk a good game. He didn't just feel an emotion or debate an idea or even believe a truth. Abraham acted upon his faith. Listen to what James said in verse 22 here of chapter 2, talking about Abraham. He said, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And then in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, Abraham is an example of someone who had real faith, because Abraham lived out his faith. And then the story of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. in the city of Jericho, that great walled city. You remember the story that Joshua sent two spies in. And Rahab hid them in her home, and she assisted them as they scouted out the land. And because of what she did, the spies promised her if she hung the scarlet cord in her window that she would be spared. And this is so awesome. Not only was she not a Jew, and she was a person of dubious morals, but yet she is given here as an example of real faith. Isn't that something? And furthermore, she is listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ as someone who lived an example of real faith. Well, that says to me, your past doesn't matter. Your mistakes don't matter. What are you doing now to live out your faith? That's what matters. I heard a story about years ago, I think it was back in the 1920s, about a daredevil named George Blondin. You ever hear the story of Blondin? He was a tightrope walker, and he did a tightrope walk. He did tightrope walks in famous places. And one day, with crowds gathered on both the American and Canadian side, he did a tightrope walk across the Niagara Falls. And then he did it on the way back, and the crowd was just amazed. And he said, this time, I'm going to announce to the crowd, I'm going to do it pushing a wheelbarrow. Any volunteers to do that this morning? No? Okay. Me neither. He pushed it across. He got halfway across. It was a little shaky, and the crowd oohed and aahed, but he made it across. Then he said, I'm going to go across again. And one gentleman came up to him and said, Blondin, you're the best. You are awesome. He said, I believe you could go across. You could push that wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls, and you could do it 100 times, and you'd make it. He said, you really have that much faith in me? He said, yes, I do. He said, you want to get in the wheelbarrow? Needless to say, he had no takers. You get the point. Easy to talk a good game, isn't it? Are you willing to get in the wheelbarrow? Are you willing to back up your faith with your actions? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. You see, the title of this message is Real Faith, but the title of our series is A Faith That Works. How many are with me this morning when I say, I want a faith that works? I want a faith that functions in the real world. You see, a faith that is not tested, a faith that is not lived out, a faith that doesn't work in the real world is of no use to anyone. It's of no use to me, and it's of no use to the people around me. I want a faith that works. I want a faith that's real. I want a faith that's tested. I want a faith that's going to get me through the fire and through the flood and through a pandemic and through confusion and through conflict and through difficulty and through financial shortages and through sicknesses and through all kinds of difficulties. I want a faith that's going to work during those times. How about you this morning? A faith that works. And real faith is demonstrated, James says, by what we do. Now, I want to be perfectly clear. I've alluded to this earlier, but I want to make it perfectly clear. Works do not save you and me. We cannot be saved by what we do. Works will not get us into heaven. They're not the root of our salvation. They're the fruit of it. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. He said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, did you notice the connection between faith and works? He said, works can't save us. We can't earn our way into heaven, amen? But works are the result of our salvation. There are three prepositions in those verses, Ephesians 2:8 through 10. We're saved by grace, we're saved through faith, and we're saved for a life of good works. God has ordained not that we're saved by our works, but that our works should be the result of our salvation. They should follow us. They are the fruit of our salvation. I say to our graduates and to all of us, what we're going to need to get us through this current time and anything else that life may throw our way is not a fake faith. We need a real faith, amen? Real faith is more than just words I say. Real faith is more than just an emotion I feel. I may be moved. It may be maybe really moved. But real faith is more than that. Real faith is more than just an idea that I debate. It's something I discuss. Real faith is more than just a truth that I believe. As a matter of fact, real faith is something I do. It's something I live out. It's evidence of what God has done in my life. This morning, for those who were here, for those who were watching online, my question is your faith genuine? Is it real today? Or has your faith been really based on what you say or feel or discuss or a simple truth you believe? Is your faith evidenced by your life? If not, today can be the day where you can be assured that your faith is real, that it's genuine, that it works. Because let me tell you, when you and I have a real faith that shows on the outside, that faith works. That kind of faith is going to get us through. Amen? That kind of faith is going to make a difference. Our faith is real, there are going to be some changes that it brings about in our lifestyle. We're not going to act. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, I get that. But there should be some point where we don't act like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't post like the world. But the character of Christ shows on the outside because our faith is genuine and it works.